Repository. Appreciate his goodness, appreciate his safe traveling for me, and how he blessed me last night. I left at 10 o'clock, we got home at 2:30, and the Lord blessed all the way, and so I'm thankful for what he did. Appreciate the Lord so much. Lately I have been impressed in reading and studying the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, and last week we had a message with part of what was in there, but we want to go to Matthew, the 7th chapter. This is the very end of the kind of the Sermon on the Mount. It goes from 7, I think it starts in 5, it goes 6 and 7, and it's all in red. You know, you hardly see anything black in there at all. So that means that the Lord was saying, and he was teaching, and he was making it clear what he wanted us to know. And in the very end of this, after he has been teaching, and he's been teaching the multitudes on many different subjects, all different kinds of subjects, but when it comes down to the very end here, the last four subjects in this chapter are to the church. They're to us, directly to us. He talked a lot about sinners and how they should do, and he talked about how we should treat some others, and there's all manner of different things in here that he taught about, but these last four things are warnings to the church, to you, to those that are saved, to those that are living according to him. Now, we had a lot of wonderful songs this morning, and we all rejoiced in them, and we all were very glad that we were together in them, and that is a wonderful thing, but that means that we're the church and that we're wanting to worship him in all the ways he should be worshiped, and we're counting ourselves as part of the church. And so these warnings are to those that are saved, part of the church. We want to start at the 13th verse, 13 and 14. It says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it." Now I know we want everybody to go to heaven. I know we want everybody to we want to have a hope for everybody that leaves this earth. But the scripture plainly is teaching us here that that is not possible. It is teaching us it's not possible. That broad is the way that people are taking, and narrow is the way that we are taking, and there's going to be few that find it. And that's a dire warning. Isn't it? I know I always like to give all people the benefit of the doubt. In other words, I want to believe the best of them. And we should. We shouldn't go around saying, oh, they're a sinner, and they're a sinner, and they're this, and they're that. No, we want to give, we want to extend as much mercy as we can. But the Lord is telling us something here. He's telling us that about the gates. He's telling us about the gates. See, there's one that's really, really narrow. Yeah. And there's one that's really, really big and wide and broad. Mm-hmm. And the narrow one only allows so much traffic through. You know what it is. We go out on the highways and they're working on the roads. And as soon as you see that sign, construction ahead, you go, oh, no. Because what does it mean? It means we're all going to have to squeeze into a narrow place to get through. That's usually what it means. And we all hate it. Why? It slows us down. Delays us. It makes us take more time to get where we're going. It's more frustrating. Well, you know, when we're looking for the Lord, it's kind of the same way. There are many people out there that are going the broad way and doing whatever they want and everything, and they may not have some of those kind of frustrations like we get. You know, because we're trying to stay on this narrow path. We're trying to really be careful about everything we do. So it's very frustrating to us when we feel like, oh, we misstepped there. And we didn't quite get it right there. And all. It's very, very frustrating to us. But we can look around us and see that the world in general is somewhat satisfied with taking the broad way and doing whatever they want, and don't you dare cross me, and don't you get in my way, and don't you cut me off on the road. Mm-hmm. Don't you do any of those things, right? Because now you're messing in my life.
Right.
You see? And so they're very, very concerned about what everybody else is doing to them.
True.
But in the narrow gate, it isn't like that.
Right.
We're concerned about what are we doing to others. You see, we're concerned. How are we living before others? How are we projecting before others?
Right.
Are we showing them a true path, a true way? What are we doing? That's why it's a narrow way, because it's very easy. And we find it can be easy for us too if we're not careful. It's very easy to be self-centered. But it's very hard to be other-centered. To think about the others before you think about yourself. You know, something happens and you end up in some kind of a conflict with somebody. It could be about anything, you know, but it's a conflict. There's a difference of opinion, a difference of the way you would handle it or what you would do. When we enter into those things, what we're thinking is, oh Lord, help me. Help me to do this right. Help me to not project something I shouldn't put out there. Help me to be calm. Help me to be humble. You know, help me to you know, not give up ground, but at the same token, not to force or push or press against somebody else. And then we take into consideration, well, Lord, you know, they're a person like I am, and the enemy's working with them. And we start thinking about all the ways that the enemy worked with us. You see what I'm saying? We're not self-centered.
Yes.
We're others-centered. And so it's a very small and narrow gate that we go through. It's very, there's lots of people that try to do right, try to do good things. But the self-centeredness comes out. Comes out in everything that they do. It comes out in everything they're thinking or the way they're going about problems or whatever. It comes out. And the Lord wants us, this is a warning to us. This is a warning. There's a broad gate. And anybody can go in there. It's big enough that anybody can go in there and go down that path all they want to. They can get there. There's nothing that is obstructing their pathway. There's nothing that's getting narrow in there. They can be just whatever and travel on this road and travel freely. Just go. Not so with the narrow way. He's warning us. It's not so with the narrow way. You can't look at all your neighbors and you can't look at all your friends and family and different ones and say, or even the church, even somebody else in the church, and say, well, they seem to be able to get along and do this. They seem to be able to participate. No, we have to remember we're on this straight and narrow. And we have to go through this narrow gate. And it doesn't let just anything through. It's very, very small. You ever been in a situation where, oh, maybe like you're in your garage and you've got all these things packed up and stacked up and everything, and you need the tub that's way back in the corner, And so you think you're going to squeeze through all those little places and get there to that tub. And you find out it didn't work. You can't get through there. You find out that you're crushed here, you're crushed there, and you think, well, I'll just shove them out of the way, and then they're too heavy to shove and everything. And then you find out, this is what we find out when we're on the narrow way. We have to move a lot of things.
Yes.
We have to move them out of our way to get through that narrow place.
Amen.
And it takes effort. It takes effort. We have to unstack those crates, you know, and those tubs one at a time. And we have to put them over here and put them over there and make the way. You see what I'm saying? So we can get through that narrow little space to get where we're going. And the Lord is warning us here. He's warning us. Be careful about, now, just think about this. Be careful about if your life is too easy. Because you might not be in a very narrow path. You know, you might not be in a very narrow path. Because there's going to be obstacles and things in the way. Things that you have to move and things you have to change. And things that you have to pay attention to. And it isn't all going to be about you. You know, I remember telling my children when they were growing up, life isn't all about you. You know, I had 9 children in the house. Every one of them thought that their way was the best. And every one of them thought that the way they thought about it and the way they thought it should be was the way it should be. And very, very, not very often did very many of them agree all at the same time. It just didn't happen. And that's the way it is out here on this broad path. They don't agree. There's all these different beliefs, all these different degrees of everything out on this broad path. They don't even get along with each other. But they're still on the broad path. They're still going the same way. Because the narrow way means that you have to deny yourself. It means that you can't be self-centered. You've got to be humble. You've got to think of the other person more than you think about yourself.
Yeah.
If we spend all of our days praying for ourselves and we hardly pray for anybody else, is that self-centered? Mm-hmm. I know there's been many a trial that I've gone through. And when you're going through the trial, you're praying about yourself. And you're asking others, pray for me and everything. But do you know, have you ever gotten to the place to where that prayer kind of felt self-centered? In other words, it's about, and have you ever let loose of all of that and just started praying for everybody else?
Yes. Amen.
And what happened? What happened? All of a sudden things were, maybe nothing changed in your life, but all of a sudden things were better and they were brighter.
Yes.
And there was a brighter outlook and there was of places where you could see further down the road. And there was an inspiration and a little bit of encouragement and all inside. Why? Because for a minute there, I was kind of sidestepping this little narrow path and everything. And I was kind of getting all self-centered in my own little problem, my own little world. And I was just living there. But then when I started praying for everybody else, all of a sudden, I just got lined right back up going through that narrow gate.
Yes.
The Lord is warning us. It's easy. It's easy to go the broad way. It's going to take work and effort to go the narrow way. It's easy to just fall in line with the way the world looks at something or the way they're teaching something or the way they're arguing their point. It's easy to just fall into line with that. But it's going to be harder in all conversations to keep it Christ-centered. You ever find yourself in some kind of a worldly discussion about something? Oh, politics, whatever. With somebody, and all of a sudden you realize, you know something, this is so far away from where God is. This is so far away from where what his opinions are. What am I doing? Why am I even talking about this? This is all worldly disputing things. And I have to be Christ-centered. I have to get there. I have to get in the middle of that. And I have to bring Christ back into it. And I'm going to tell you something. When you get on these discussions and everybody wants, and you keep bringing it back to Christ, pretty soon they will leave you alone. You know, they will leave you alone. They will begin to talk somewhere else, or when you're in the room, they won't even start the conversation. You know, or when you come back into the room, they may end the conversation, or a couple of them may walk out and go someplace else to finish their conversation, because they know what you're going to do. You're going to keep going back to that narrow way. They just don't want to walk in that little tiny narrow way where we can only think like God thinks. See, they want to have all this expansion of their own minds, and they want to have all this that they want to indulge in, and they want to think about, and they want to feel like they're so smart about it, and they've got it figured out. That's the broad way. Ours is narrow. It's Christ and what He wants. And that's all. It's not about us anymore. It's about Christ. He said that we were supposed to be ambassadors for Him. We were supposed to go out and win the world for Him. That's it. He didn't tell us to go out and figure out how to fix all these problems in the world, figure out how to get all this done, figure this, figure that. No, He said, just serve Me and what I want. And then what does He do? Then He shows us ways we can be helpful in the world. But we have to get in the narrow pathway, go through the narrow gate first. Otherwise, our own opinions and the world's opinions will all get mixed in with God's things. And it won't be a clear message anymore. So He's warning us, be careful of this broad way. Because you're on a very narrow, narrow path. And it's a very narrow, narrow gate. And you're going to have to get through there. You're going to have to actually maneuver and get through there. With God's help, of course. But how do we make it through in God's way? It's because we allow Him to dictate to us, to tell us what we need to do. So, that's the first warning He gives the church. Remember, you're on the narrow way. The broad way is the way the whole world is thinking, the way the whole world is reacting, the way the whole world is carrying on. Remember, that's not your world. You're on this narrow path. And you're going to have to stay on this narrow path. You're going to have to let God lead you in this narrow way. And not be self-centered, and be people-centered, and be others-centered. That's what the narrow way is. I lose myself and find it in who? I find it in Him. But I gotta lose myself first. It's hard to lose ourselves. It really is. I know there's a lot of people out there that say, oh, I'm striving so hard, I have to find myself. No, the problem is they found themselves. And they don't like what they found. So they're looking for another self. But they don't want to go the narrow way to find it. They want to stay on the broad way, but they want to find themselves. What they mean is they want to find satisfaction. They want to find peace. They want to find peace. They want to find a different way of reacting and all to the things that are going on in life. That's what they mean by that. So this is a warning to us. Now we go on to 15 through 20. It says, beware, that's a warning, of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, there is a place and a scripture earlier in either the 5th or the 6th chapter where it talks about judging others. And we often hear it said that, no, we're not judging them, but we can see by their fruits. You can see it. You can see it by their fruits. And he's saying, beware of false prophets. In other words, beware of false, not only those that are trying to be in a leadership position, but just people in general. Just people in general that are trying to tell you something, that are trying to convince you of something. Be careful. Because if they're on the broad way, it's tainted. See, it's tainted. You can't just take it at face value. You have to get on the narrow way, and then as you're going along this narrow way and you see people, sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between those that are on the narrow path and those that are on the broad. Because most all of us can see good in people. We look for good. It's comforting to look for good. It's comforting to know that there are good people out there. It's comforting to know that, you know, you get into a problem or a situation or something, maybe break down the road and somebody stops and helps you out. And yet they may not be a Christian, they're on the broad road, but it's comforting to know there's good people. But we have to beware that we don't think that that's for us.
Right.
That I can be good sometimes, and I can be charitable sometimes, and I can do all this, but my fruit is not good. So it's talking about here what we believe in and also our behavior. Our behavior. In other words, our good fruit. It says you can't, grapes don't come from thorns, figs don't come from thistles. So, if I'm grapes, I can't have thorny stuff coming out and claim to be a grape. It's impossible. If I'm a fig, if I'm a good fruit, I can't let sticky stuff come out and things that wound and things that prick other people and all these things. See, we know who people are by their fruits, what they do, their behaviors. It's talking about this fruit. It's talking about your behavior, what you're doing. We can, the Lord is trying to warn us here to be careful of your fruit. The fruit is what is obvious, what people see. Everybody can act like a grape or a fig sometimes. But that doesn't mean they're like that at home. It doesn't mean they're like that around other people, or they go to a different town where nobody knows them and they might be a totally different person. You know, we've heard about over the news and a lot over these last few years about horrible scandals that people have gotten themselves into, where around these people, they looked all pious and like they were really good people, and then they went off to secret places and did horrible things that people didn't know about. So we have to look for the fruit. That doesn't mean that we should be judgmental about it. It just means that when we see a thistle or a thorn, it's a warning sign. It's just a warning. Thank God we don't have to judge it. Thank God we don't have to judge it. But it's a warning. And so we need to be careful. We need to be careful in associating with that person, because they have some things in their life, and they're proving out some things, and they're showing out with some things that are not good fruit. Now, they could be on their way to good fruit. See, the Lord could be dealing with them. They could be on their way to good fruit. That's what we don't know. So that's why God doesn't want us to judge them. He doesn't want us to to make up our minds, oh, this person is on the downward path and they're never going to get out or anything. No. He wants us to beware of false prophets. Beware of where you're getting your information from. Beware of where you're getting your encouragement from. Because they come in sheep's clothing.
True.
What has happened to many, many people through the years? Many, many families have been broken apart because somebody came to the husband or the wife in sheep's clothing. Oh, I feel so bad for you. You know, I see you're sad all the time. I see this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sheep's clothing. But really, they're a wolf.
Right.
They're a wolf. But people fall for it. Oh, somebody's on my side. Somebody's listening to me. Somebody's, you know, wants to hear what I have to say. And, oh, my husband or my wife, they don't listen to me. They don't hear what I have to say. They don't, you know. But they come in sheep's clothing. And many, many families have been destroyed because they were false. They were false. And then how much more false prophets in the church? God is warning us. This is the church. He's warning the church. Beware of false prophets that have a hidden agenda, that have something that they have in their mind, that are willing to talk with you. We hear Brother Paul say all the time, talk God talk with you. They're willing to talk that all with you. At the same time, they're trying to draw you away from it. You know, they talk with you and they on things that you can agree and everything. And then when you go a little further where they don't want to go, they say, oh, well, you know, I've never seen it that way. And what if this scripture or that scripture? And then we what do? We go home and we say, oh, Lord, you know, I don't know how to answer them. And I don't know how to say that. And they seem so sincere. But they're a false prophet. They're a false prophet. They have no intention of changing anything. They have no intention of being open to all of the gospel. They have decided what the gospel says, and they are locked onto that. Now, it's pretty hard for us to look at them and say, well, that's really bad, because we know the gospel too, and we're locked onto it. Okay? So it can look like we're in the same place they are, except for one thing. See, except for one thing. Do they have thorns and thistles? Or do they have good fruit? See, sometimes we don't see thorns and thistles right away. Many people who got married didn't see the thorns and thistles. Or if they did see them, the other fruit was so lovely that they couldn't pay attention to the thorns and thistles. And many people have married, made these decisions in life because of that. God wants us to be aware that there are false prophets. Prophets. People that are sent and used of Satan.
Yeah.
Now, they don't know that.
Right.
And they don't say, ooh, I'm a prophet of Satan, or who can I get a hold of today? That isn't what they're doing. But because they're living on the broad way, Satan has easy access to them. So they don't realize they're being used of Satan in all these different ways. They think they're being good. They think they're being good people.
Right.
That's what they think. But God is telling us, beware. Behavior counts. Behavior counts. Whether it's in your family, whether it's on the job, whether it's in the grocery store, behavior counts. I know someone that said that they were in a long line, and there was a person in front of them in this long line, driving cars in the long line, and the two were having to kind of merge in. And so this person in front of them was supposed to go forward, and this other person just zipped in front of them. Wasn't their turn. And They said that this man was so calm, you know, didn't even look like he reacted. And they were checked in their spirit because they felt like, wow, he's the one that they cut right in on, and here I'm thinking, ugh, and then they didn't even react. Okay, I can do this or whatever. But it wasn't very long before it was their turn. And somebody's wanting to get in or whatever, and they're blaring their horn, trying to make people move, and trying to do this and trying to do that, you know. And they quickly forgot the first lesson. The first lesson they learned with the person that was so calm in the truck that checked their spirit, they quickly forgot. And then they're hanging out their window saying, "You are so rude." And the person says, "You are so rude." You see what I'm saying? In other words, if it's two peas in a pod, you know, one's blaring their horn, the other one's calling the other one rude. I mean, what's the difference? What's the difference? It's rude behavior. It's not this narrow way behavior. It's not that. See, there are people all the time that want to, you know, cut in line in the grocery store, pull into your parking place. You're waiting for the person to come out and they turn the wrong way and you know, oh boy, I'm going to lose this place. Because that other person, I've been here longer. I've had my blinker on all this time. But the other cars got the advantage. Got the advantage. And when they're backing out, sometimes you say to yourself, "Oh, please, please, back the other way, back the other way." But they don't.
That's right.
They back, obstruct you, and the other person zips in. And you know what happens? If you sit there, they won't even look at you. They won't even acknowledge you. They will pretend like you are invisible. Why do they do that? Why don't they just look straight at you and then say, "Oh, were you going to park here? Oh, I'm so sorry." Why don't they do that? Because they know what they're doing. That's fine. You know, how often has it been in the supermarket when somebody, you know, and now we have these 6-foot rules. Okay, so these 6-foot rules can have a lot of problems like that. Because sometimes the 6-foot is going down the aisle. And they can't see you. So they pull up sideways. They can't see you down the aisle. And so when that person moves, they move. Then there's these 3 or 4 other people that are down the aisle. You know, do they acknowledge? "Oh, I'm sorry. Is that where the line is? Get out and go to the end." No, you're invisible. You're invisible.
It's true.
Narrow way, broad way. Self-centered or others-centered. You know, looking around, I always look around me in the market, and I see if somebody right behind me has just a couple of things, because usually I have more, and then have just a couple of things, I say, "Oh, go ahead of me." "Oh, no, that's okay." No, really, go ahead of me. It's all right. You know, you just have a few things. It's just good. It's just good to do that. We are not false prophets. We are not preaching good and then doing these little evil side things. We're not doing this. We are keeping our lives clean and pure. And when we find ourselves getting upset when that person zips in front of us, whatever it is, and we feel that little indignation, what do we do with it? Do we just let it grow and grumble about it and go home and think about it, and then we do this about it and that about it and tell our neighbors about it and everything? That's what the Broadway does. But that's what we do. What we do is we come to the Lord and we say, "Oh, Lord, just help me. Just help me right here. Just help me right here." Because what do we say? We don't even know sometimes how to put it into words. We just know, okay, this isn't Christ-like. Help me do this right. Help me to think this right. Get over this. Whatever. It's a warning to the church about our behavior. Our behavior. We'll be a false prophet if our behavior does not match what we're preaching. That's a false prophet. If we say you should do this, you should do that, and then somebody sees us doing those things, that's a false prophet. So behavior, our behavior has to line up with the Word of God and with Christ and with Jesus. And that might be where that little saying came from, what would Jesus do? Because I don't know about you, but once in a while I use that. What would Jesus do? And you start picturing him walking, you know, around the Sea of Galilee and talking to the people and everybody that came to him and everything. You start thinking about those things and you go, oh, yeah, I'm going down the wrong thing here. I'm thinking the wrong things. I need to just get rid of this. Get back on the right track. So our behavior needs to match the fruit we claim to have. It can't be a deceptive thing. See, we can't be in sheep's clothing. We can't wrap fruit around us in front of people and then go home and be a thorn and a thistle. Can't do that. We have to have on hand what the Lord wants us to have in the good fruit. And that's why this gate is so narrow. Because we have to fight ourselves and our own feelings and our own sense of injustice and our own sense of people doing that on purpose and all these things. We have to fight that. If you're going to be on the straight, if you're going to walk on this straight, narrow path, go through this straight gate, this narrow gate, you have to fight all those things. You can't just let them live. You can't just say something, the nice thing outward, and then stew and go over it all in your head all day. You can't do that. It's straight and narrow, even in your thoughts. Even in what you let your mind work with and carry on with. It's straight and narrow, all along the way. And our fruit has to be real fruit. Has to be the same fruit. No matter where we're at, has to be the same fruit. Not one kind of fruit we put on with these people and another kind we put on with those people. No, can't be that. Has to be the same consistency all the way through. All right, our next warning, 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, so, down to the end, those that have fruit, but have all the thorns and thistles mixed with it, those that are on the broad way, not the narrow way, not others-oriented, but self-oriented, are going to come down to the end, and here they are again, completely self-oriented. But Lord, didn't I? You see where they are? Didn't I? What do? When we start talking about, we say, oh, the Lord blessed me to do so and so. The Lord helped me to do this or that. Oh no, I didn't do it on my own. The Lord came in and helped me do that. And oh, you know what I'm saying? We don't take credit to ourselves. But these people are saying, whoa, wait a minute, Lord. You must have made a mistake. Because didn't I? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do all of these things? Didn't we put your name out there as something glorious? Yes, but you were on the broad way. You weren't working with yourself. You were just out there and just putting on a face, putting on this false prophet face, naming Christ, but not really doing what he says, not really living like he tells you to live. And they're so bold as to say, We've prophesied in the name. In other words, we've told people all about you. Yes, but they didn't believe you because your fruits didn't add up to what you told them. See, your fruits didn't add up. They saw you day in and day out. They saw this here and that there. They saw things. And they said, oh, that man's religion isn't anything. He talks a good game. You know? So then it says, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Not everybody that just says, Lord, Lord. But he that does my will. See, we're talking about dealing with ourselves so strictly that we're in this narrow way going through this straight gate. Then we're talking about somebody doing the will of God that our fruit matters. And we look around and we say, oh Lord, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. I'm telling people about you and look at what I'm thinking about right now. Look at how my mind is working right. This isn't good enough to be able to go out there and proclaim the name of Jesus. And at the end, Jesus says to them, I never knew you. Why didn't you know him? Why didn't you know him? Because they weren't in this narrow way. They weren't in the narrow way. They were in this great big broad way, naming Christ here, doing this here, and thinking that was enough. But that's the broad way. See, they're worlds apart. Me doing what I want over here, and then yet naming Christ over there that says we have to be totally dedicated to him and give up ourselves and find him. And so those two are such opposite, opposing opinions, but they hold them together and say, but didn't we? And the Lord says, no, actually, you didn't. That's what he's telling them. Actually, no, you didn't. I don't know you because we don't have a personal walk here. You've never let me come in and tell you about yourself. You've never let me come in and convict you and prick you and tell you all the things that need to be changed in your life. You've never begged for my forgiveness for things that have come to the light and that I see now that it's been wrong and I've been thinking wrong all along, but I didn't know it. And I go, what do we do? On the narrow way, what do? We just fall down and say, oh, Lord, I didn't know. But what do we say anyway? I'm so sorry. We don't say, well, I didn't know, so I don't have to say I'm sorry. Why do you think the law says it doesn't matter if you know the law or not, you're still held by the law? That's just the law of our land. There's no excuse for ignorance. It's the same way in the Gospels. There's no excuse for ignorance. God deals with every man. And what does he do? He appears and he teaches them things. And whether or not they obey those things and go forward in those things is whether or not they are really one of his children. So they're coming up and they're still relying upon their own way of manipulating and maneuvering their life. I can be Christian over here, but I still, you know, not going to let nobody walk over me over here. You see? Two opposing opinions can't live together. Bitter and sweet. Can't come out of the same place. So, he says, I never knew you. What he means is, I never had a close, intimate relationship with you. I never was able to just sit down with you and tell you about yourself. We could sit down and talk about all the other people. You would talk to me about all the other people. But you would not let me talk to you about you. And I can only work with you. I can't work with the things that you have with somebody else. I have to work with them with that, not with you. The only thing that I have is to be able to work with you individually. That's what has to happen. He says, so I never knew you. Now we know God knows every one of us. He says he knew us before we were born. So it isn't the same kind of no.
No, right.
It's not the same kind of no. Oh yeah, he knew of you, but you didn't have a relationship with him. You didn't let him in. You didn't let him change things about you. You didn't let him change your opinions. Your opinions were so right and so strong and so right along the pathway that it should be. And you wouldn't let him change anything. Lord, help us. These are warnings to church people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I never knew you. There are going to be church people. They're going to show up on that day to be judged. And they're going to say, well, wait a minute. I was a Sunday school teacher. I was a preacher. You know, I did these many wonderful works. I was a missionary in foreign fields. I went and told them all about you. And he's going to say, but I didn't know you because we didn't have a personal relationship. See, you didn't let me change you. You just wanted to go out, tell everybody about Jesus, and then say it's okay to live just like you're living. And it wasn't okay. It wasn't okay to live like you're living.
Right.
But you wouldn't let me tell you about it. You wouldn't let me in. You wouldn't let me understand it. You wouldn't let me come in and tell you about yourself. And I pricked your heart many times. I pricked it. You felt it. And you walked over it. I don't know you. I don't know you intimately because that's what you did. That's what you did. All right, the last warning, 24-27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And we learned in Sunday school this morning that rock translated in Hebrew means what did we say it meant? The mighty God. So it says, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the mighty God, the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. What is it saying here? Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Then it says, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Because the rain's coming. See, the rain's coming. And it's going to beat down upon the Christian. And it's going to beat down upon the one that is not a Christian, the sinner. It's going to beat down on those that are on the narrow way, going through the straight gate. The rain is coming. And it's going to beat down on those in the broad way. The rain's coming. And the Lord is trying to let us know. It means something to follow what I have said. You can't be changing it here and there and doing things with it and trying to interpret different ways, all those things. You can't do that. You have to listen to the word. You have to let it prick your heart. You have to let it take hold. You have to let it correct you. Because the rain's coming. You see, anybody can be good when there's no rain. See, they can be good, no rain. But when the rain's coming, the thistles and thorns are going to come out.
Yes.
See, I know what happens in my rock garden after a rain. All the weeds come up. You know what I'm saying? They just find their way up through the rocks. And I have to go out there and pick out all these little weeds before they get real big. That's what happens in our lives. The rain is coming, dear ones. And we don't want to be found short when the rain comes. When something hits our life, when something comes that disturbs us and upsets us, we don't want to be left wondering, how did I get here? How come I don't have faith? How come I don't have this? How come I don't have that? Because we have to do the word. We have to listen to the word. We have to obey the word. We have to hear the word. We have to hear things that we don't want to hear. Right?
Amen.
Things you don't want to hear. Nobody loves to hear bad things about themselves.
That's right.
Like, you know, you can get a feedback sometimes. They'll give you anonymous feedback about things. And then you start reading people's comments about their feedback on you. Well, you know, they're this or they're that. And you're going, what? I was so nice. You see? Feedback. The Lord has given us feedback on our lives all the time. He's given us feedback. See, he doesn't just let us stumble on, not being able to figure out what's wrong and what's going wrong and why do I feel this way and why is this bothering me and everything. No, he gives us constructive feedback. And he expects us to listen and then to do what he says. Follow his word, his commandments. We have to follow them. These are warnings.
Yeah.
These are warnings. That you've got to be in this straight and narrow gate. That your behavior matters.
Right.
That there's going to be some that don't listen and he's going to say, I don't know you.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I'd rather him tell me that here.
Amen.
Wouldn't you rather hear it here?
Yeah.
If you're not doing it quite right, wouldn't you rather hear it here? Not at the end when it can't be changed.
Amen.
And then the rain's coming. He says, listen, the rain's coming. I rain on the just and the unjust.
That's right.
The rain's coming. You're not going to have what you need, the foundation that you have. You're not building a strong enough foundation. What is our foundation? The commandments of God. Building on them means that we are accepting them as commandments and we are going forth and doing them to the best that we understand how to do. That's the foundation. When we've got that right, the other things will fall into place and the rain won't destroy us. It won't move us. It won't become a flood that washes us away. It won't happen like that. It's going to stand. Because why? Because we're standing on God and his word. Not on our own understanding.
Amen.
Not on that. These are warnings to us, dear ones. We have to remember these things. That these things matter. And that we're going to be held accountable for them. At the end.
Yeah.
At the end of our own life. At the end of the judgment. We're going to be held accountable.
That's
Amen.